Hey, and welcome to the Joy Church podcast. If you'd like more information, check us out at www.joychurchnh.com or visit us in person at 55 Barnstead Road, Pittsfield, New Hampshire. We hope you enjoy and are blessed by this message. And now on to this week's sermon.
All right, I'm pretty fired up. It's been a while since I've been up here. 49ers and Chiefs and Swifties. And we have that diversity, right? We also have something else in common. We have a desire to follow Jesus, right? We all want to learn more about him. We want to know what he said and on Jesus for years and years and years and years. And then there's some of us who are brand new to follow Jesus. And both of those things are awesome, right? They're awesome. That whether you're a brand new follower, whether you've followed him, Jesus for been following Jesus for 50 years or 50 minutes, we want to hear his voice and we want to know his plans for us and we want to be able to listen to him as he leads us as we become disciples, right? So that's what we're talking about this year. We're talking about discerning God's voice. And one of the great things that I like to add one word to the end of that is discerning God's voice together. It's so much better than when we're all in unity in what we hear in God's voice, even though he speaks to us personally, communally, as a group, as a community. He also speaks to us and takes us in a direction and makes an impact in our community, right? So that's something that I'm excited about. The last recorded words of Jesus before he ascended to heaven, before he went to heaven at the end of Matthew 28, he said, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." So as your pastors, Kathy and I, take this command from Jesus seriously. And we want to spend this year, 2024, growing and learning how God speaks to us and learning how to hear his voice and discern his voice, discern what's good for us through his voice and be obedient to that. It's important to be obedient, not just to hear what he says to us, but to do it, right? I mean, sometimes it's so easy to say, "Oh, God, yes, speak to me, speak to me." But then we got to put our feet to the path and we got to make it happen, right? We got to do the stuff that he's given us to do. So this year we want to see all of us step up in our discipleship, into being disciples. You know, Jesus said, make disciples. He didn't say make converts. He didn't say make church people. He didn't say make religious people. He said make disciples, people who follow me. And that's what we want to do this year. We learn his voice. We learn to hear it. And we learn to see how Jesus did it, how he followed his Father, and how he loved others, including us, and how he would reach out to others, including the outcast, the ones that nobody else would talk to. Those are the ones that Jesus would reach out to. Jesus said, "I didn't come to the world to condemn it, but to love." And if Jesus didn't come to the world to condemn it, then who am I to try to condemn it, right? Who are we to try to condemn? We're here to love like Jesus loved. I remember a time, a little story. My oldest son, Ben, he was just a small boy. He's not a small boy anymore. He's a big grown man. But he was probably 3 or 4 years old, and he was a typical little 3 or 4 year old boy, a little bit precocious, you know, outgoing, into things. And I remember, and this was back in the day of, you know, mall pet shops. Don't judge. Don't judge. But it's back in the day of mall pet shops, right? And sometimes we would go, that would be our entertainment for the night on a Friday or a Saturday, go to the mall and, you know, take the kids to the pet shop and let them, you know, see the fish and the birds and the reptiles and all that and the dogs. But there was this one time where we went, and this, again, don't judge me. But this was back in the day where you didn't have to keep your eye on your kid like every minute of every second while you're at the mall. So we would kind of let the kids kind of free range there in the pet store and see what they wanted to see. We'd be in the store with them, but, you know, wouldn't necessarily keep them in eye shot constantly. Don't judge. Don't judge. So we were there one day, and I heard this little voice, and I heard it say, "Stop it. Get away. No." And I thought, "Hey, that sounds like my son Ben. Wonder what's going on over there." And so I went over on the other side of the store as quickly as possible, and there he was with the dog latched onto his leg. The dog was just taking a few little nips off of his leg. It was only a flesh wound. He was okay. Nothing major. But I knew the second that I heard his voice, I knew that's my son. That's my son. I recognized that voice. I could hear his voice and I could discern that there was something wrong. Knowing his voice. And by the end of 24, I hope that we all know God's voice like that. That's how I want us to grow together, to hear God's voice and to know it, to be able to know it. Because, you know, we need to be able to hear his voice and to know his voice, even in a crowded space, in a crowded room, because this is a crowded world that we live in, right? And there will be imitators. There will be those who try to tell us that they're speaking God's word or they're speaking God's voice. There are imitators who would love for us to follow them and follow their word and tell us that it's God's word. That's why we learn how to hear God's voice and hear from God ourselves. The voice of the world, his voice is distinct, it's personal. His voice is persistent. We're going to be talking about those in a couple of upcoming weeks. His voice is for us, and his voice always, always speaks life to us. It's word together, all of us. So it's kind of a tradition for me every year to go back and start reading, and I read the book of Genesis every year in January. I kind of read through it day by day. And as I was reading the first two or three or four chapters this year, I got to thinking about God and Adam and Eve and how God dealt with Adam and Eve and the original sin, the first sin, and, you know, how God walked in. Can you think of today? Can you imagine how that must have been, right? Well, God still comes and lives in us and walks with us every single day too, right? So maybe there's something in there for us today. But you kind of probably have heard this original sin story, the story of Adam and Eve, and I got to thinking about God's reaction to their sin, about God's reaction to their fall. And I got this really strong discerning God's word, and I got this strong feeling in my spirit that God spoke to Adam and Eve in a way that was different maybe than what I had looked at in the past. And if we want to discern God's word and to know God's voice, then I got this strong feeling that before we do that, we need to know God's heart. We need to know God's heart for us, right? We need to know God's character and who he is. And we need to know that discerning God's voice starts with knowing his heart. And as we read his word, we can see the words on the page and we can meditate on them and digest them in very different ways, depending a lot on how we know God and how we know his heart and what we know of God and how closely we know the Lord. Is he an angry God? Is he out there like so many in the world believe that he's angry and he's out there somewhere and he just wants vengeance on these nasty humans who he happened to create and he even regrets that he ever created the world? Do we look at God that way? Is angry? Or is it maybe we could change our view and we can see God's heart of loving and caring for us and we can see that God is... He really is a loving and caring God. He's proud of the beings that he created. He created us, guys, in his image. Think about how proud, if you're a parent, how proud you are of your kids. And God created us in his image and in his likeness. And how much he must care for us and how much he loves us. He's a good father. And God loves us enough to give us this free will that we can choose to follow him or we can choose to love him or we can choose to go our own way. That he loves us so much that he gives us those thoughts and those choices. And I don't know, I think it'd really be hard to say God completely and totally loves us if we didn't have those choices. But he gives them to us. And I'm convinced that my second thought is the true thought, that God is loving and caring and concerned. I'm convinced that through my readings of the Scriptures and reading all of the commentaries and different things I've read about God and about his love and about his word and from my own hearing from the Holy Spirit, that God is crazy about me. And he's crazy about you too. He's crazy about us. The Scripture says in Proverbs 8 that we are his daily delight. That daily he delights in us. The God of the universe delights in us every day? Oh, my goodness. Well, let's look here at Genesis and through this story a little bit of creation and the first three chapters of Genesis. And like I said, you're probably familiar with this story, regardless of how churchy you've been over your lifetime. It's the story of creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? For 6 days, God was at work creating heaven and earth and dry land and vegetation and the sun and the moon and the fish and sea creatures, birds, livestock, creeping things. Could be the same, maybe not. And beast of the earth. It's this greatest burst of creativity in the history of all the universe. God did it in 6 days. Then he created man. And he decided that man needed a mate, someone to be with. So he created the smartest and most beautiful creation he ever created. His ultimate masterpiece among masterpieces. He created woman. He created woman. And he left man and woman in this beautiful garden, this Garden of Eden. Can you imagine the beauty? It was brand new, it was newly created. And he left this man and this woman in this garden to take care of it. He gave them some work to do. Work is not a bad thing. Work is not a curse. Adam and Eve had the command to tend the garden before they fell, before they sinned. But there was joy in work in the garden, and God would visit them and walk alongside them. And they worked it, and it was beautiful, a beautiful garden. And guys, this one, I don't know, I feel like this one may be for you and me. Guys, he let them be naked all the time. Come on, you're with me, right? It's okay. And he gave them this one rule, and only one rule. You know, religion can give us a lot of rules, but God doesn't give us so many rules. He gives us a lot of love and grace and mercy. You know the story. They couldn't even keep the one rule that he did give, right? They ate the fruit that was beautiful and good, and Eve took a bite, and so did Adam. They're both just as culpable as one as the other. We men like to blame it on Eve. But it was a sin for both of them, right? And they fell. They fell into sin. They fell into Satan's trap. They fell into turning their back on God and what he had asked them to do, to leave that tree alone, right? So let's look at Genesis 3, and we're going to kind of read through verses 17. No, actually verse 7 through 19. So let's read through that together. Verse 7. Then the eyes of both were opened, the eyes of both Adam and Eve were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. So suddenly they committed the sin, they fell away, they turned their back on what God had asked them to do, and immediately they saw that they were naked. The only difference is before they were naked, right? And they were unashamed. So this sin that they had committed let them open their eyes to, Satan had tempted them with, to be more like God. And so they opened their eyes and they felt the shame of their nakedness. And so they go and they found some fig leaves and sewed them together. That must have been a project, huh? They sewed these fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. We read these ancient stories and we see that here they are, they've fallen, they've shown that they didn't trust God enough, and they listened to the voice of the serpent. And we know the rest of the story, right? We get scripture, we get to read the story, and most of us have read it before and know how it turns out, right? But they didn't. They were living it. They were like right in the moment, real time. Adam and Eve didn't know the rest of the story from here. Don't you think they were a little afraid of what God was going to do? Don't you think they felt maybe he'd be a little angry? The God who had created them and Now, within such a short period of time, here they had gone and disobeyed. I gave you one rule, and they disobeyed it, right? I'm thinking that if they had boots, they'd be shaking in them, right? They'd be shaking in their boots, afraid of God's reaction, afraid of what God would do. And then sure enough, soon after, they hear God's footsteps in the garden. God is faithful. He was always there to speak with them. He was there with them in the cool of the day, right? He's always faithful. He always shows up when he says he will. So he's showing up for their walk and talk in the garden. And in verse 8 says, and they heard the sound or the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. How many times have we ever tried to hide from God? Right? You've done this stuff. And then you felt like, ooh, I need to hide from God, right? Thinking that he's not going to find us, that he doesn't know where we are. Afraid, ashamed, feeling like that we've let him down and he's going to be furious. This is the one, God, that I know that I screwed up again, and this is the one where you're just going to zap me. And I know, God, that this is it. We think we need to go and hide from God. But then, oh no, verse 9, but the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? Uh-oh, right? Here he is. He's looking for us. God is looking for us in the garden. He created us. He created the garden. I'm guessing he's going to find us, right? He probably knows where we are. And then in verse 10, we read on, and he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid. So this is Adam that said, I heard the sound of you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Well, first of all, he's been naked since he was created. Why suddenly be afraid because you're naked, right? I'm sure Adam had this feeling that God was going to get me. We did this thing. We fell from the thing that God told us not to do, and God's going to get us. Here he comes. And he's out to get me. God says, I heard you in the garden. And Adam replies, basically, I knew you'd be mad at me. And so I went to hide, try to miss your anger, to try to hide from you. In verse 11, this is one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. I have a lot of favorites. He said, God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? Who told you? Have you done that thing? And our vision so many times of God is, you know, of his heart and his love for us can be shaped by these two questions. The way we perceive God and the way we see God and the way we understand God, I think, can be shaped by a lot by these two questions. Who told you that? And have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? For so many of us, we interpret that. We hear that even as the words come into our mind as we read them from the page. And we think, God is mad at Adam and Eve and he's mad at me, right? Who told you that? Have you eaten from that one tree that I told you not to eat from? Come on. You can do better than that. But what if we reframe that? What if we rethink that? What if we hear God's voice as a voice of compassion, a voice of mercy, a voice of love? Oh no, who told you that? Did you eat from that tree that I told you not to eat from? A voice of compassion and not anger. I believe it was the compassionate voice, guys. I believe that the heart of God is compassionate to his creation, to you and to me, his delight, a compassionate heart. And I believe that partially because later on in verse 20, the man called his wife's name Eve, and that's not the right verse. There, 21, sorry. The Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. God took care of them. Even though he had to remove them from the garden, There are consequences to our actions. There are consequences to what we do. But God, His love, He replaced the flimsy and probably by now half-rotted fig leaves that they were trying to cover themselves with skins. Something that will last. Just like when you and me mess up, He covers us with grace and mercy. Covers us gently with His grace and with His mercy, right? And I don't think there's any coincidence to the fact that blood had to be spilled in order for God to cover them with this animal skin. There had to be sacrifice. There had to be bloodshed. And our sin, from the very beginning, has required a sacrifice to make us whole. And we know that on Easter, we're going to be celebrating that sacrifice, the shed blood of Jesus on the cross and His resurrection. It's a sacrifice for you and for me, the covering of grace and mercy that God provides for us today, so many years apart from the garden and Adam and Eve. At a time where God, He could have easily destroyed mankind. There were just two of them. It could have been just a do-over, right? Quick do-over. Let's just not even put that part in Genesis. Let's just do over and start again. It could have been so easy for Him to do that. But He chose mercy. He chose grace. He chose to love mankind, the creatures that He had created. And there are consequences, and there are consequences that we all pay every day for the sins that we commit. But alongside those consequences today are the same grace and mercy and love that God showed to Adam and to Eve in the garden. Grace and love to cover us from our sin. To discern God's word, we first need to know His heart. We first need to know His heart. God's heart is for us. God's heart is not against us. He's not out to get us. So let's fast forward to Jesus and the time of a Good Friday and the Easter time when He came into the city and it was time for His trial and His crucifixion. And his apostle, His disciple Peter, who was originally named Simon, so Jesus would call him Simon sometimes and Peter sometimes and Simon Peter sometimes. But Peter, this disciple who was very vocal and very brash, he promised with all his heart and all his mind, Jesus, I'm your ride or die. I'm going to be with you no matter what. Peter declared this so that the other disciples, they all heard it. They all knew that he said it. And he meant it until things got a little hard. And before we go judging Peter, let's think about our own hearts in that way too. Think about our own hearts. So accusations were made about Peter. You're that guy that was with Jesus, right? You're that guy that was with Jesus. I know, I'm angry denial. Things were getting real now. Peter saw what Jesus was going through, and Jesus was accused. He was put on trial. He was beaten, spat upon, and crucified. And his closest friends, those who were the closest to him, with Peter leading the way, they all bailed on him. We give Peter the toast. This could be it. Legit. Think about it, guys. Your friend turns their back on you. What's the reaction from most of us? This is what happened to Jesus. We would probably even say, well, Peter deserved it. I'm so glad I don't get what I deserve. So glad. But what did Jesus do? In the book of John, verse 21:15. My goodness, I'm all over the place this morning. All right, what did Jesus say as he went? Moment of his time here on earth, what did Jesus do? Well, he cooked breakfast for them. He saw them out on the water fishing. They weren't doing so well, so he helped them out a little bit there. And he cooked a little fish fry there for breakfast. And then Scripture says in John 21, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, to this guy who had bailed on him, who had committed probably one of the biggest failures that we would ever consider a human could commit. And he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And Simon said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And I'm thinking, well, Jesus might have thought, well, where were you? He said to him, feed my lambs. A heart of compassion, a heart of forgiveness, a heart of love. Peter, you've got this call. You've got this thing that I've given you to do. Yeah, you messed up really, really bad. But now you can just walk on in what I've asked you to do and feed my lambs. And he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, tend my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Jesus, at this time where he could have easily walked away from Peter and told those guys to just go and do what you got to do, go fish or whatever you got to do. I'll find some more disciples. He didn't. He showed this mercy and this compassion and this grace and this love for Peter and for the rest. And he said, just go and do what I ask you to do. Just go and do that. It's still there, Peter. That calling, that thing that I ask you to do, it's still for you. I believe in you, Peter. I believe you're the guy that can do this. Go and feed my sheep and tend my sheep. It's so important to know the heart of God, especially today. Especially in a world where so many folks want us to be afraid that if we break some kind of religious rule or want us to be afraid of coming into repentance and asking Jesus to forgive our sins, or afraid of becoming a better disciple. The world comes at us with these fears that God's heart and God's character, it's a heart of mercy. It's a heart of grace. It's a heart of reconciliation. God is for us. Look at your neighbor and say, God is for you. He is for you. We are His delight. Daily He delights in you. And I know sometimes for me, sometimes probably for all of us, that's hard to hear and understand and take in and receive. God delights in you. He created you to be in His image and in His likeness. God created you with a soul that could follow Him and a heart that could love Him. I've told you before, if you've been at Joy Church for a while, I have an affinity for some Christmas movies. I want to share a little clip from one. You might have seen the movie before. As you know, it's not the Hallmark Channel Christmas movies that I typically watch. I'm sure you've seen this one. It's the story of Ralphie and his family, right? Red Ryder carbine action 200-shot range model air rifle with a compass in the stock. Have you seen that one? It's a story of two young boys growing up in the 40s and 50s, long ago, with a very kind mom. There was this younger brother, Randy, and Ralphie's the older brother. You probably remember the Bumpus dogs eating the turkey. And you probably remember this grumpy old aloof father, right? You remember him? The furnace went on the blink, and he unleashed a string of cuss words that is still bouncing around the universe. You remember the Scott Farkas affair? Mm-hmm. The scene where Ralphie gets in a fight with his arch nemesis, Scott. Right? And Ralphie lets all of it go. All of that pent-up anger and frustration he has towards Scott, he lets it go. And he unloads on him. Hitting, kicking, cussing, spitting. He beat Scott's, he beat him up. But then he had to go home and face his dad, right? He had to go home and face his dad and tell him about the fight. And remember Randy, the little brother? Watch.
Hey. What's the matter? What you crying for?
Daddy's gonna kill Ralphie.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is, too.
No, he's not. I promise you, Daddy is not going to kill Ralphie. Why don't you come on out of there? No? Would you like some milk? You would? Here you go. All right. I'll see you later. Okay. Bye-bye.
Randy's view of Daddy. What was it? Angry, punishing, and wanting to mete out justice, right? That's my daddy. And sure enough, Daddy could have killed Ralphie, right? It was the 40s and 50s. There was none of this, oh, go sit and time out for 10 minutes, right? Now, I experienced some of that. Still feel it. But Randy, this little boy, he just couldn't understand the father's heart. Couldn't understand the father's heart to love and encourage and show mercy and grace to his children. And I'm afraid that so many of us have that same view of God. We don't understand the father's love. We think he's out there somewhere. He's angry. He's filled with wrath. He remembers everything I did, and he wants to punish me for that. He's out to get us. He's going to squash us like a bug, right? Well, that's a lie from the pit of hell. God is full of love toward his creation. We are his daily delight. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 2:4, and I love the New Living Testament, the way it says it. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Thank goodness, right? And Paul continues, does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? So God shows us this kindness. He shows us this long-suffering, this love, even as he's trying to grow us, even if he's trying to change us, even if he convicts our heart about something that we're doing. And he says, no, you know what? You don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to live that way anymore. I've got a new way for you, a way of passion, compassion, a way of love. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I've got this way, God says. You go out and drinking every weekend and are sick all weekend long and feel horrible. You don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to do that anymore. God's heart of compassion and love for us. He's a good, good Father. And discerning his voice starts with knowing his heart, knowing his character. And I have a question for all of us here today, all of us watching online, all of us who only know God as angry, mad, vengeful, those out there that are just hung up on rules and not a relationship of knowing God. And the question I have for you, who told you that? Who told you that? Who told you that? Jesus says, I came not to condemn, but to love. Reading the scripture and learning his voice, I've come to know that God is merciful. God is merciful. He's graceful. He's long-suffering toward his people. And one thing that I know about me, for sure, and I'm pretty sure for all of us, is that all of us need all of his grace all the time. All of us need all of his grace all the time. And the good news is, it's there. His grace is there for us all the time. It doesn't matter what you did last week. It doesn't matter what you did as a kid or what you did on the way to church today. All of us need all of God's grace all the time. Do you want to know God? The worship team can come up. Do you really, really want to know him today? Do you want to change this worldview, this mindset of yours of who God is and really understand his heart and his character and his love for us? You want to enter into a relationship with God that is merciful and kind and graceful and loving? You can do that. As simple as letting Jesus be your Savior and asking him to come and forgive you of those sins. The scripture says there, as far as the east is from the west, that God throws those away. And he gives us this new way, right? This new way. I've got plans for you, God says, plans to prosper you. And so we walk away from who we were and we walk into who we are. And we become more and more like Jesus and follow him. It's really, you know, I hate to say it's very simple, but it is very simple, but it's a very, very complex decision that we make too. It's a decision that we need to think about in our hearts and our minds and to know that, yes, I don't have to live that way anymore. I don't have to be afraid all the time anymore. I don't have to be depressed anymore. There's hope in Jesus. I don't have to be that stuff anymore. I don't have to rely on somebody else to tell me I'm good enough. I don't have to rely on somebody else to show me enough love, because God is there and he comes to fill that spot in our hearts and he makes us whole and he brings us healing through his voice as we discern it, as we learn to hear it, and as we learn his heart and his character and we know who he is. So I'm going to offer a time of prayer, a time for us to all bow our heads and consider our relationship with God, and really, how do we view that relationship? And do we know that we're his delight? Do we know that that's part of our identity? Do we know that he cares for us? Do we know that we don't have to live that way anymore? What I'm going to do is lead you in prayer, and I'd like for all of us to pray together out loud. Nobody prays alone here at Joy Church. And if you'd like to pray and ask Jesus for forgiveness of sin and for this newness of life, pray that in your heart and receive it. And today can be the day where you find that new way, that new direction, and you understand God's heart. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I come to you in repentance. Father, knowing that your heart of compassion and love shows forgiveness for me. God, forgive me for my sins. I accept you as my Savior and Lord. And God, give me a heart to be more like you. Thank you, Jesus, for new life. I give you mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, the Lord is in this place. God is here. And I think God is working in hearts and minds, and maybe it's online as well. But as we leave here today, as we walk out of here, let's not just forget these words and go back to our view of God as angry and upset. Let's leave here and know that Daddy's not going to kill Ralphie. God is not out to get you. He's out to draw you toward him, to be more like him. Let's get to know his voice. Let's get to tune into him and listen to him and understand him together, all of us together in community, growing more and more like Jesus. You think we can't change the world? Jesus had 12 disciples. There's more than 12 in here. If we all grow to be more like Jesus together, we can be world changers, starting here in our town. But man, it doesn't have to end there at all. Let's tune in and let's listen to him. Let's read his word. And when we read it, let's read it through the lens of a loving dad speaking to our hearts. So, Lord, as we finish up today, I ask your blessing over us. I ask, Father, that you would continue to speak to our hearts about who you are. So, God, that we can meditate on that. And as we read your word, we can read words of love and compassion and a love story written to us in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Enjoy the big game today. We love you. There's nothing you can do. A fan or a 49ers fan or a Swifty. We're going to love you anyway. Have a great day. The best is yet to come. We'll see you later.
We hope you enjoyed this message and were blessed by what you learned. If you'd like to hear more of our podcasts or to get more information about our church, head to our website at www.joychurchnh.com. We look forward to hearing from you and sharing with you next Sunday's sermon. Until then, we love you and there's nothing you can do about it.